My memory of Lee was how he handled and hounded John Quayle.
Yeah, that's Mike Rabbit, certainly well known to people in the Newcastle area, talking about the late Lee Morne, the man regarded as the founding father of the Newcastle Knights, who sadly passed away on Wednesday evening. But it was really from about the mid-1970s when Lee and several others first really grabbed hold of the idea of a Newcastle side in what was then the New South Wales Rugby League competition, right through until, I think it was 1987, when they were granted the licence and, of course, appeared in the NRL, well, what's now the NRL, in 1988 alongside the Brisbane Broncos. But the man he harassed forever and a day joins me now, and that's the man who was, well, the first general manager of the New South Wales Rugby League and went on to be the chief executive officer of the ARL, John Quayle, who's on the line. Morning, John.
Good morning, Richard.
It takes one person, doesn't it, to sort of get the bit between their teeth and never let go to make these things happen. And when we think about, you know, professional sporting clubs and how big and powerful they are these days, to get going, it quite often takes the efforts of one individual like Lee Morne to make it all happen.
Well, it certainly does, and, you know, Newcastle, the passion that was there in the late 70s, you know, I remember when I first started the job in 83, that my first letter was from Michael Hill to say, we're ready to go in 85, not any later, so get your act together, Rugby League, and we're ready. And I had to say to Michael, well, you might be ready, but the league at the time weren't. And then along with Graham Hards, who we knew was the general manager, and Max Fox, and Lee was just passionate about it unbelievably. And when you say drive me mad, he certainly did. I'm very pleased back then there were no social media or no direct text messages or emails, because we didn't have any of that in those days. But he had this credible knack of sending me information, I think, and I think, Richard, one of his traits were, in a funny way, but also he had a great knack of exaggerating. I'd get these messages to say, there's 100,000 signatures here. I want to bring them down and give them to you. And you're coming up next week and I need this meeting. So we'd have this meeting, especially with him and Graham. They had a double act. Graham used to cry. He'd say, Newcastle just needs rugby league here, and he'd put the tears on. And then Lee would just say, look at this. Look at the amount of people that want the Knights in. I said, you've just announced 100,000 signatures. Where are they? And I'd look at the piece of paper and roughly count them to think there's probably 1,000.
Yeah.
And but it didn't matter in those days. He just led a campaign that just united Newcastle publicly with his media profile in those days. And as we all know, it was very easy in the end to make the decision to say yes. And as we all know, Newcastle is now, still today, one of the key successes.
All right, so from your point of view, as being the general manager of what was then the group overseeing the competition, the New South Wales Rugby League, what was it that swayed it in favour of Newcastle to grant them a licence, John?
Well, I think we always knew we were going to expand the competition once the league became a little better in running itself at that particular time. And we knew that the area was so predominant, rugby league, with the participation rates in the competition within Newcastle, was always going to happen. It was just a matter of when. And, of course, when we made the decision to expand to two, Brisbane and Newcastle were the fit. And it was just a matter of selecting the right time, Richard. And as I said, if Lee and Michael and a lot of the people there had their way, they would have been in much earlier. But anyhow, that's, as I said, the enthusiasm of Lee, his public promotion of it in those days. As I said, we had no social media, and a lot of it was just done through his way on television, yes, on radio, and certainly driving the front office of Rugby League mad in Sydney to say we're better than... Yeah. He used to say to me on many occasions, you know, look, we've got much greater support than any of those other teams. The Roosters and Cronulla, they really, you know, and Canberra, you know, Canberra's, you know, nothing compared to what Newcastle's going to be. All those things he did in a very good way, not in detrimental,
yes.
But it just made sure that Newcastle was the prominent decision in all of that. And I know that when it was finally made and he rung me and said, look, you know, I might have upset you on many occasions, but this is, you don't realise how what this means to all of us here and the people of the Hunter, and we all know what it did.
Yes, Vale Lee Morne, and I mentioned earlier, he was very passionate about everything he was involved with. In fact, Lee got me involved in what was then known as the Hunter Prostate Cancer Alliance, and they had that very successful television commercial, the Little Prick campaign. But everything that he was involved with, Lee, he was very passionate about, even if he did rub some people the wrong way. Again, Vale Lee Morne. On the subject of the expansion of the game, do you have any views? I know Nick Politis from over in Las Vegas discounted Papua New Guinea, saying Perth should be included. Would you like to see Papua New Guinea coming into the NRL competition, John?
Oh, Richard, I'm probably a little away from it at the moment. I think when I look back at our expansion, it's 30 years ago when we wanted to go to 20 teams, and
yes.
Perth was in our competition. We knew that we wanted to expand. We wanted Papua New Guinea and the islands to participate more in the international side of the game. And that's what we were on. But look, we've seen the success of expansion. We've seen the success of the Dolphins. And we know that Papua New Guinea is, rugby league is their national sport. But it's not a matter of just making a decision in 1 year. You have to be satisfied that the long-term interest of that team that comes in is going to work. And that'll be the most difficult decision to make in all of that. The emotion is certainly there. The public is there. But is the development right for Papua New Guinea at the moment? I'm not sure.
On the subject of this commitment for 5 years to kick off the NRL season in Las Vegas, it's happening for the first time on Sunday with the doubleheader. You were instrumental, really, in getting State of Origin to the United States back into the 80s, John.
Yeah, we did it back then, Richard, on the basis that, you know, we'd had offers. In those days, there was no Fox Sports, there was no pay television, and we didn't have any money, but we had a commitment. And yes, we were prepared to make that decision to go. And the sad part about that time and the time that it's happened since was there was no follow-up, because the cost of all of it was just far too much. Now when you consider what the league have done in this situation, if you look at the response that they've got publicly, but also the way it has been driven by the Fox organization, has been outstanding. And if a lot of it is because of the gambling dollar, the dollar is there. The money is there. We are a gambling sport. And if those two things mix, as long as there is a long-term commitment, then you have a chance to develop and retain the game. And if it means more viewers and more participants, that's what your success should be, and I congratulate the league on it.
Does it concern you, though, that many clubs seem to be beholden to the gambling industry, the sports betting industry?
Oh, it certainly is. I fought against it, but that's part of Australia now, and it's part of professional sport. We watch it every night in our lounge room at every ad. And so we understand that the amount of money is there, Richard, and it's part of what we do in professional sport now, and betting is a part of it. So you can't ignore it. It's a matter of when you get the balance right, in my eyes. But the league are certainly in a financial position now to do this sort of promotion, as we've seen it in the success of this trip so far.
Yes, yeah. Well, looking forward to watching the games on Sunday. Thank you for your time this morning. I mentioned earlier when I rang you yesterday, I said, I hope I haven't caught you at a bad time. You were moving cattle around the property, John.
Well, I was, Richard, which is wonderful at the moment. We've had some wonderful rain up here in the Hunter, and everything's looking okay. So I look forward to watching the game. And again, I'm looking forward to the Knights, because we saw We saw, you know, people don't realise to have two premierships in their short history, to see the success of last year, to read that the people in Newcastle again have seasoned. Phil Gardner has told me that season ticket holders are nearly sold out. Yeah, that's just the response that people like Lee and Michael Hill and the people that drove the Knights into the competition should be very proud of.
Again, thank you for your time. Yeah, the Knights will be wearing black armbands in honour of the late Lee Morne next Thursday night, and I believe they're talking about renaming one of the stands the Lee Morne Stand, certainly for next Thursday night's game. Vale, Lee Morne, and thank you again for your time this morning. John, all the best. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Richard.
John Quayle, former general manager of New South Wales Rugby League, and of course the CEO of Australian Rugby League, one of the most respected sporting administrators in the country.